Devin is going to center us with today's scripture reading.
Thank you, Pastor Mark. A scripture reading from the book of Acts, chapter 4, verses 32 through 37. The translation is from the Common English Bible. The community of believers was one in heart and mind. None of them would say, "This is mine," about any of their possessions, but held everything in common. The apostles continued to bear powerful witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and an abundance of grace was at work among them all. There were no needy persons among them. Those who owned properties or houses would sell them, bring the proceeds from the sales, and place them in the care and under the authority of the apostles. Then it was distributed to anyone who was in need. Joseph, whom the apostles nicknamed Barnabas, that is, one who encourages, was a Levite from Cyprus. He owned a field, sold it, brought the money, and placed it in the care and under the authority of the apostles. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Amen. Let us now hear to what worship leader Melinda Hale next shares by way of special music, Hold Us Together.
Trust in you and know you are with me forever. I'll confide in you, 'cause you're the only answer that matters. And even in the darkness, you'll be my light. Even when I'm home, you will be my guide. I will not be shaken, I will not be moved. Even in the chaos, I know you are good. 'Cause you're the keeper, protector. It is you that holds us together. When everything else fails us, it is you that holds us together. I will trust in you, your thoughts and plans of me. They are good. I will wait on you. I know that you will see me through. And even in the darkness, you will be my light. Even when I'm hopeless, you will be my guide. And I will not be shaken, I will not be moved. Even in the chaos, I know you are good. 'Cause you're the keeper, protector. And it is you that holds us together. When everything else fails us, it is you holds us together. Yes, you're the keeper, protector. It is you that holds us together. When everything else fails us, it is you that holds us together. Holds us together. You're the keeper, protector. It is you. holds us together when everything else fails us. It is you that holds us together. You're the keeper, protector. It is you that holds us together when everything else fails us. It is you that holds us together. You hold us together. Oh, it is you that holds us together.
Yes, as Melinda has shared in this song, God is our keeper and protector. When everything else fails us, it is the Holy One that holds us together. Amen. Well, this morning, we continue our current sermon series, 50 Days of Hope, having focused the past two Sundays on how hope is greater than doubt and is greater than fear. Well, next up in this series is an issue, a situation, and I'd say an impact point that in my opinion, invites those other two, doubt and fear, to its party. Well, what party is that, you may ask? Well, that would be the non-celebratory party of uncertainty. And I state non-celebratory, for that's an invitation being received that we'd prefer declining, no matter the who, what, when, where, why, how. Yet, in this lifetime, it's a party that we can't avoid, and it's not a one-off get-together either. That said, partygoers, the good news for us is hope is greater than uncertainty, because hope is always at the party, and that's Jesus Christ, who is the life of the party for which we give thanks to God. Amen? And today, this message centers on hope in the midst of our lives that are being filled with uncertainty. I mean, just look at what we've gone through recently on a societal level. Mass shootings, racial tensions, police shootings, political divisiveness, more accountability and justice issues than you can shake a stick at. Our daily lives, they've been in constant turmoil. And for a right-in-your-face example, just think back to this past Tuesday. Did not uncertainty rise up in your heart and mind when the announcement was made that a verdict would be forthcoming in the Derek Chauvin trial? And that uncertainty not only included what the verdict would be, given what has happened in the past, but the uncertainty of what might occur afterward. Like I said earlier, fear and doubt, they were invited to that party of uncertainty on Tuesday. Well, let's also acknowledge, though, that uncertainty strikes at both a societal level as well as a personal level, like when our plans go up in smoke, when relationships have been stretched and strained, which causes breaks in what we may have thought was previously strong, or when your finances, they're in an absolute mess and you don't know how you're going to make ends meet. Dealing with the uncertainty of loved ones who are ill, worried about your employment status, whether you should take that new job or not. And these are only just a few instances of uncertainty at the personal level. Doesn't it feel like life would be so much easier if it were predictable, set, stable, certain? And along those lines, do you ever have moments when you wish, oh, you just wish you could be in full control of your life, full in control of your future, especially when life as we know it can change in a lickety-split second, leaving us questioning, drifting about? It's definitely not a good feeling to feel lost, uncertain of where to turn, unsure of what's next. Nevertheless, Even when we feel like we're stranded on the island of lost, in which everything seems upside down, strange, bewildering, this is when God comes to us in our uncertainty. This, friends, is when Jesus speaks. And for us as Christians, as a faith community, as one of the most influential theologians of the 20th century, Paul Tillich, once said, "It is in the courageous standing of uncertainty, faith shows most visibly its dynamic character." Today's scripture passage to center us comes from the book of Acts, from the New Testament, chapter 4, verses 32 through 37. And when we take a look at the whole of this story, well, within this passage, the apostles and this community of believers, well, they came together soon after the death and resurrection of Jesus. And as verse 33 tells us, they bore powerful witness to the resurrection of the Lord. Well, did this coming together and time of witness happen when life was smooth and easy with, oh, there's no problems on the horizon to be concerned about? No, there was loads of uncertainty all about them, especially in the lives of Jesus's disciples. And in particular, one big question before them was, how does one live into, build, and sustain a movement, one as inspiring and life-transforming as that of the Jesus movement? Now, that was a major undertaking. Well, one key part in the whole of that answer was having financial wherewithal, implementing radical economic practices, such as the community's handling of possessions and money. Here, I mean, wow, you talk about spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity was exemplified. However, for these believers to truly rise to the occasion, for a new way of living, enabling them to change lives, to lift the hearts of the lowly, oppressed, marginalized, to help build confidence in order to get through uncertain times, this community of faith had to place, and let's choose to place, above everything else, their kingdom value of loving God and others. Here's where I believe they leaned into uncertainty. I'm saying that again. They leaned into uncertainty rather than running from it, trying to avoid it. They took Jesus' words seriously when he said, as is stated in John 14:1, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." And during the tumultuous time in which they lived, these disciples chose to walk with God in spite of all that was going on, to believe in God, to believe in Jesus. They leaned into the discomfort of vulnerability, trusting the Holy One. With God, they could confidently walk through hard times from a place of peace, just like we can. And that peace of Christ directly impacted those around them, just like it directly impacts those around us. Understand, though, that peace of Christ doesn't translate into uncertainty suddenly disappearing into the ethers. Just because we have Jesus with us doesn't mean uncertainty takes a hike to never come back. In fact, when we're talking about the followers of Jesus leaning into uncertainty, 20th century French philosopher Jacques Ellul flipped this further on its head when he said, and I'm quoting, "Christians were never meant to be normal. We've always been holy troublemakers. We've always been creators of uncertainty, agents of dimension that's incompatible with the status quo. We do not accept the world as it is, but we insist on the world becoming the way that God wants it to be. And the kingdom of God is different from the patterns of this world." Preach, Jacques, preach. I love that. And that's a different way. That's a different way of looking at things from a Christian perspective. As holy troublemakers, we're creators of uncertainty because we don't accept the world as it is. Applicable to the followers of Jesus back then, applicable to us now. But while we as Christians may be creators of uncertainty, which is a good and holy thing in the eyes of the Lord, what about when uncertainty is weighing heavily on us, becoming an obstacle, hindering our path, making us queasy and uneasy about situations, about people, about life? And hey, that could even include the church. Yes, life can be precarious, and the shades, they seem to be drawn down so that the light can't be seen. Yeah, plans blow up. Yes, people don't follow through with what they say they're going to do. Yes, they did us disappoint us. Yes, they hurt us. Yes, mistakes are made and misunderstandings arise that bring about uncertainty. And ooh, it just ramps up from there. Well, guess what? These things happen to Jesus. So why should we be surprised when they happen to us too? Jesus didn't give up hope. His hope overcame whatever uncertainty, fear, or doubt that was being experienced around him. And your hope, my hope, our hope is in Jesus. Friends, the spiritual forces of wickedness want uncertainty to rule over our lives. And God tells us that it is faith that is to rule our lives. However, if anyone thinks faith is going to keep us safe and out of harm's way, that faith will protect us from all of life's difficulties, well, that's not just so. There's story. Oh, my goodness. There's this story after story in the Bible. They're telling us there's plenty of individuals who lived with uncertainty. I mean, we've got Abraham and Joseph, Esther, Ruth, Moses. Goodness gracious, we got Mary, Jesus's mother, and the Apostle Paul. I mean, just the list goes on. And each of them had strong faith, but their faith didn't provide them with an exempt card from uncertainty, from going through struggles. So let me ask you this. Can you handle not knowing how the Lord is going to provide for you and for what you consider to be your urgent needs and still trust that God has your back and will provide? That's a question that the disciples of Jesus wrestled with. And forthrightly, folks, there are going to be times when we don't have the answers and we don't know where the provision is going to come from. In the midst of uncertainty, what brings me into a place of peace is when I center my soul, center in prayer, bringing it and giving it over to the Lord, who definitely knows better than me, expressing my dependence and placing trust in God. In addition to prayer, meditation is a wonderful offset against uncertainty. Letting go, clearing your mind, opening your spirit, and focusing your heart. And folks, I'm telling you, we are so fortunate to have Rev. Jefferson Beaker provide meditative opportunities for us each Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. via the Be Still and Know Facebook page. Rev. Jefferson is a gift and a blessing, not only for Harmony, but just for so many. Of course, reading scripture is important, and it's imperative to apply in our lives as Christians. By having it speak into whatever uncertainties we're experiencing, scripture brings us insight, clarity, and a sense of peace. And it's reminding us of God's promises and love. Much needed, right? In times of uncertainty, being in relationship with one another, caring and supporting one another, extending love, listening, being selfless is huge. When doing this, it knocks uncertainty off its perch. The shades that have been drawn down, well, they're drawn back up. So that the transformative life, it just exudes in your life. When you're there for someone, and you bring the unconditional love of Jesus in the mix, oh, wonderful changes, they occur. And it's not only for the other, but also for you. I've witnessed it. I've experienced it. Before bringing today's message to a close, I'd like to refer back to our scripture passage from the book of Acts, in which the community generously shared their resources, basing their lives on trust, trusting God who provides a way, facing a future with hope, living confidently in future joy with generosity together. So as I was reflecting on this aspect, Mike Rowe came to mind, and Mike is of Dirty Jobs fame and currently 6 Degrees on the Discovery Channel. Well, Mike is a close friend and colleague of Charles Klossmeyer, who's part of the Harmony Faith community, and so I know Mike via Chuck. And a number of years ago, Mike had a dream of helping others in the broader community, those dealing with uncertainty and wanting to right the ship in their lives. So Mike was inspired to form the Mike Rowe Works Foundation to provide scholarships for individuals wanting to learn a useful trade skill and willing to work their tails off. And to date, through the generosity of resources contributed, the Mike Rowe Works Foundation has provided, get this, $5 million to help folks stand upon rock rather than upon sinking sand. Among the 1,000-plus recipients, there's Rebecca Gregg, who had spent 20 years of her life running a school district food service program. And as a widowed mother of 3 young boys, she relied upon the comfort and stability of that job. And all that changed when Rebecca was suddenly let go. She was left wondering, what's next? Well, Mike's foundation provided assistance for her to get past uncertainty when she decided to learn a trade, something in demand through good times and bad. One other person among that 1,000-plus I'll share about is Tracy Wilson, who for years worked as a self-employed housekeeper while raising her 2 little boys. Well, suddenly she found herself a single mother, saddled with debt and struggling to get by. Hello, uncertainty. Well, with the resources granted her through Mike's foundation, she enrolled in an electrical engineering technology program and earned an associate's degree, and she's now thriving. You see, Mike Rowe, who was inspired and had a dream in which he would be selfless so others could have more, it's Mike who wanted to help knock uncertainty off its perch so others could face a future with hope. And thank God there are other folks just like Mike doing likewise. I'll wrap it up now. Here's what uncertainty teaches us. It teaches us to let go of what we can't control. It teaches us to put our faith into action and courageously face our challenges, to live in trust that God has got it covered and know that our Creator's love forever surrounds us. Jesus invites us to lean into uncertainty, and while we're in the midst of uncertainty, to know that God is at work for our good, doing a new thing, bringing us hope that shines brightly to guide and direct us. Indeed, hope is greater than uncertainty. Amen. Thank you, friends, for choosing to be with Harmony on this day, worshiping the Lord together and giving praise for our Creator's love. And everything you do to support the ministries of Harmony Toluca Lake and Hollywood United Methodist Church is so appreciated. We are grateful for you. For those on Zoom, we'll continue our connection with one another to discuss the question of the day. And to everyone, peace of Christ be with you on this day and always. Amen.